Welcome you, and thank you very much indeed for coming along to our full year results presentation for the 52 weeks ending on the 29th of March 2014. I'm joined in the front of this wonderful auditorium, our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Matt Smith, who will be leading the results presentation today. But we do have, I'm pleased to say, a number of our senior executives present in the room, including Mark Newton-Jones as our Interim Chief Executive Officer, Jerry Cull as our International Managing Director, and Matt Stringer, who's in charge of our UK operations, amongst others. Now, over the past year, Mothercare has continued on its path to transform our UK business to reflect the continuing changes in consumer shopping habits. And overseas, we've continued to expand with the support of our excellent franchise network. In fact, the success of our international business has helped to improve the group's underlying profits to some £9.5 million. But overall performance, particularly of our UK business, was below our expectations. During the year, I've continued to strengthen the quality of our board, and we welcome both Nick Wharton and Imelda Walsh over the last 12 months as new non-executive directors. They have considerable retail experience between them, which I believe is invaluable both now and going forward in supporting the company. The search for a permanent chief executive is progressing well, and I will provide an update on this as soon as possible. The permanent chief executive is clearly a critical decision for the company, and he or she will provide leadership in delivering the right strategy for the business going forward. In the meantime, I'm delighted with the contribution that Mark is making during this interim period. The board remained determined to deliver on our goal of returning the UK to break even whilst growing our international business and reinforcing our shareholder value over the long term. So let's move on to the agenda. Matt will start with the financial results we announced today. He will then move on to an update on our international and UK operations, and I will then return to summarize and chair the question and answer session. Matt, over to you.
Okay, good morning. Thank you for attending. So as Alan mentioned, I'll be leading the presentation today. So let me start with the financial review. So for the group as a whole, worldwide network sales were up 0.5% to nearly 1.2 billion. International sales were up 6.4% to 729 million, which is offset by the 7.5% decline in UK sales to 462, which represented a 1.9% decline in like-for-like sales. Underlying profits grew to 9.5 million, an increase of 3.6 million, and net debt for the full year was 46.5 million, in line with the guidance I gave you at the beginning of January. And I'll provide more detail on this in my presentation. So, turning first to the income statement. Total group revenue was down 2.6%, driven largely by the decline in UK sales, which in turn reflects our ongoing strategy to exit loss-making stores. The underlying profit from operations was 16 million before share-based payments of 0.1 million and net financing costs of 6.4. The reduction in the charge for share-based payments reflects the current share price and the likelihood of a payout on the current LTIP schemes. The increase in net interest charge reflects the higher average net debt for the year as compared to last year. And as I said at the interim results in November, we've adopted IAS 19, which leads to a restatement of last year's performance. I've included a schedule in the appendix which explains this treatment. So whilst we recognise there is still more to do, the underlying profit increase to 9.5 million reflects some progress, despite the challenging backdrop in the UK and the currency impact in our international markets. I'll now cover the exceptional and non-underlying items in some more detail. You will note there is a 2.6 million charge related to our Ukrainian joint venture. Whilst the Ukrainian business remains profitable, given the political backdrop, we have decided to be prudent in our assessment of its carrying value on the balance sheet. I've decided to write this investment down. We have 20 Mothercare and 13 ELC stores in the Ukraine, and we expect this business to continue to grow sales in local currency in the years ahead. The 10.9 million charge relates to property-related restructuring costs and principally cover a charge for owner's leases recognised at the year end. This relates to the portfolio nature of the store estate as a non-cash impacting item. And the exceptional charge of 6.4 million relates to the central organisation review I talked about at the half year and supports our strategy of delivering a lean retail business. The non-cash foreign currency adjustment of 14.9 million relates to the marking to market of foreign exchange currency contracts. This is a non-cash in nature and does not impact the ongoing underlying performance of the group. So worldwide network sales are a good reflection of our global reach and the underlying performance of the group as a whole. Reporting this metric is useful as it measures the retail sales achieved both in the UK and across all 59 of our countries in which our international franchise partners operate. On a comparable basis, worldwide network sales were up 0.5% at nearly 1.2 billion. Total international sales were up 9.3% in constant currency. And as you know, there was an increasing impact of currency devaluation over half two in many of overseas markets such as Russia, Indonesia, India and Turkey. The favourable currency position of 1.4% enjoyed over the first half of the year saw a reversal to negative 6.9% in the second half of the year, resulting in the reported international sales growth of 6.4% to 729 million. An overall like-for-like growth was 2.5% for the year, with all four regions delivering positive like-for-like sales. Although the wholesale results were a little disappointing, they're not a significant part of our business, and we know we can do a better job here in the future. Total UK sales were down 7.5%, reflecting a 1.9% decline in like-for-like sales and the planned closure of 35 loss-making stores during the year. Turning now to the underlying profit performance. So UK losses were largely flat at 21.5 million. International grew profits by 7.6% to 45.3 million, despite the widely publicised currency devaluation we have seen in half two. Joint venture losses were reduced as we had expected. Corporate costs were in line with last year, and this leads to an underlying profit from operations of 16 million, up from 12.7 million last year. And after share-based payments and financing, the underlying profit before tax was 9.5 million, up from 5.9 million. So I'll now focus on the UK performance in a bit more detail. This chart sets out the UK profitability and breaks down the key items to bridge from last year's performance. We are managing the business to optimise cash margins, and so we'll continue to work towards balancing sales and margin to achieve the best possible outcome for the company. As we mentioned, our UK trading performance led to a like-for-like sales decline of 1.9% and around a 200 basis points margin decline, which resulted in UK gross margin being down 11.5 million. Our strategy of closing loss-making stores resulted in the benefit of 4.2 million for the year. We've also continued to take costs out of the business with a further 7.4 million delivered in the year. This has come from all parts of the business and in particular from a tight management of central costs. We recognise there is still more to do and we are managing the business tightly. Like-for-like sales are on an improving trend, however, from 6.2% down 2 years ago to 3.6% down last year and 1.9% down this year. And we'd expect this trend, improving trend to continue into next year, subject, of course, to our focus to maximise cash gross margin. So let's look at the UK gross margins. Margins were down around 200 basis points for the year, with both half one and half two seeing a similar level of impact. In the first half, we were clearing some home and travel stock and were also impacted by the unseasonably warm weather during the launch of our autumn ranges. In quarter three, the significant increase in pre-Christmas discounting reduced our peak season performance. Margins suffered as a result of the very competitive home and travel market. Looking forward, we'll prioritise delivery of cash margin and we'll keep stocks tight. We'll focus our promotions and look to improve markdown reductions during the year. As a market leader in many of our categories, we are working with our suppliers to improve our performance. Turning now to the cash flow statement for the group. Net debt for the year was 46.5 million, an increase of 14.1 million compared to last year. This is in line with our guidance at the beginning of the year. The average net debt for the year was approximately £50 million, with the peak being around September at £70 million as a result of our normal stock intake profile. There was an operating cash inflow of £24.8 million, driven by a cash-generative international business. The working capital outflow was £4.7 million, and it's driven by the growth in the international sales and increasing franchise debtors. There was a tight control on stock, which is around 17 million lower than last year. We would expect this to lead to working capital benefits in FY15. We invested 13.8 million in the business during the year, around 11 million of capital expenditure, and 3 million invested in our China and India joint ventures. In line with our previous guidance, there was also an outflow of around 14 million relating to the restructuring of the central costs and the UK business, driven principally by the store closure programme. As I provided at the half year, I've set out in the appendix a schedule showing the future cash utilisation of these charges. We've also recently made some amendments to our bank facilities. We have further headroom against our covenants and liquidity going forward. This year has seen a material change in some overseas currencies, which has had an impact on our international businesses' reported performance. A number of our larger markets have seen this change, in particular Russia, Indonesia and India. The positive currency impact of 1.4% for half one turned negative in half two at 6.9%. The impact for the year as a whole was negative 2.8% on sales. To help mitigate further downside, we have hedged our Russian, Indonesian and Indian currency exposure for the first half of the new year. And we'll review this on a rolling six-month basis and may consider additional currencies as appropriate. So let me now turn to the operational review. I think this is the opportunity for me in the next 10 minutes to be the stand-in chief exec, and I'm sure Alan will judge me later on how I performed, but let's see how we go. So let me summarise what we've done over the last year. The four pillars of our transformation and growth plan touch both our international and UK businesses, although I will review them separately. First, let me give a flavour of what we have done, been doing before moving on to a full update of the business. So look, we're a global company with over 60% of our space and sales in our international business. Our franchise partners opened over 150 stores last year. They are collaborative and continue to exchange best practice ideas, which help strengthen the individual businesses. We are pleased that there are now 10 websites in our overseas markets, which gives us a good foundation as multi-channel retail develops. In the UK, against a very discount-driven market over peak, we were drawn into that activity, which adversely impacted our sales and margins. Although we have delivered operational improvements in the UK, moved forward our multi-channel offering, closed loss-making stores, and reduced costs in line with our plan, we know there is more to do. This is clearly something the new chief executive will want to review and will update on at the appropriate time. So let's now turn to international. So constant currency sales were up 9.3%, with all four regions making a positive contribution to like-for-like and constant currency sales. Space from new stores is up 13.1%, which leads to 6.8% of space growth in the year, of sales growth in the year. Like-for-like sales growth is 2.5%, and with a negative impact of 2.8% from currency movements, leads to the reported retail sales growth of 6.4% to 729 million. Profits grew slightly faster and were up 7.6% to 45.3 million for the year. Our international partners now have 1,221 stores across 59 countries with 2.7 million square feet of space. We opened a further 152 stores, and the chart shows the growth rates by region. Our partners' rolling three-year plans gives us confidence that our international business can continue to see double-digit space growth. And let's look at each region in a little bit more detail. So Europe, our largest region, now has 494 stores across 27 countries. Our partners opened 61 stores and increased space by 8.6%. During the year, Russia and Turkey in particular were hit by an increasing level of currency devaluation. It is nevertheless encouraging to note that after a weaker than expected Q3, constant currency sales in Russia have reverted back to double-digit growth. We opened our 50th store in Turkey during the year, and at the year-end had 53 stores in Turkey and 157 stores in Russia, and both markets offer good long-term growth opportunities. The Middle East and Africa now has 327 stores in 13 countries. Our partners opened 18 stores and increased space by 8.5%. Although this is our most established region, our partners still see good growth opportunities with a further 20 stores planned to open this year. Asia now has 352 stores in 12 countries, and during the year our partners opened 62 stores and increased space by 28%. This region saw double-digit total sales growth despite significant levels of currency impacts in Indonesia and India. And we ended the year with 69 stores in China and plan to open a further 40 stores this year. And lastly, Latin America, which now has 48 stores, having opened a further 11 stores during the year and increasing space by 15%. Although it's still early in its development, this region has long-term growth potential. We also made further progress with multi-channel. Our franchise partners now have 10 websites in their markets and will add to these during the year. Although these sales are still quite modest when compared with total sales, this gives us a great platform for long-term growth. Let's now turn to the UK. Although we have made some operational improvements, there has been a challenging year and the UK performance has been below our plan. So let me address this directly. As you can see from the chart, like-for-like sales, we had a very weak Q3 trading period with sales down 4%. The sales were impacted by poor high street footfall and the unseasonably warm weather over Q3, reducing winter clothing sales. This led to a very promotional period in the run-up to Christmas, as retailers looked to ensure the exit of the season clean on stock. The home and travel market was also very competitive, particularly in the largest category of pushchairs. This had a direct impact on our margins as we sought to manage our trading plans. The home and travel sector clearly has some structural issues, but Mothercare is a clear market leader in this category, and we are working together with our suppliers to ensure that their support reflects this leading position going forward. We'll continue to focus on optimising cash margin delivery. We're going to plan stock more tightly to better manage markdown reductions during the year. And the assistance of our suppliers in producing exclusive product and further support will be important. We remain committed to our goal of returning the UK to profitability. So we know to succeed in the UK, we'll need to press ahead with our multi-channel strategy. Our customers are looking for flexibility and want to be able to shop around the clock. We have to be there for our customers when they need us most. That might be through our store network for a bit of advice, through our online channel when making up a feed, or through our mobile channel, which has iPhone and Android apps when out and about. An iPad tablet app will be launching next month. And over the last year, we've closed 35 further loss-making stores, adding to the 56 closed in the previous year. This means we have closed 20 Mothercare stores and 71 ELC stores over the last 2 years. We are continually assessing our store portfolio as we recognise that markets are continuing to change. But let's not forget, we are the largest national chain of mother and baby specialists and number one in many of our categories. This is a competitive advantage, not only to be able to offer our customers with face-to-face service and advice, but also a convenient point for delivery. So our strategy is not simply one of closing loss-making stores. We have over the year invested in several stores. We've refitted 11 stores, relocated our Glasgow store to a new mall in St Enoch's, and converted our ELC store in White City to the Mothercare format. We are building on the experience of past conversions and investment in stores. These photos are of the White City store and St Enoch's stores and give you a flavour of what we're doing. The stores offer our customers a better shopping experience, with wide aisles, a bright and airy feel to the stores, faster tills, and an online order system in store, together with refurbished feeding and changing rooms. We also now have two outlet stores in Rotherham and Fort Kinnaird, which allow us to clear end-of-season stock in a cleaner fashion but also helping sell full price stock in our remaining estate. The White City store is interesting for us. This is an ELC store which we converted to Mothercare. It opened with mainly clothing offering and a small selection of more premium end of home and travel to reflect its location. Although it's still early days, we've seen an uplift in both sales and margin. And following the conversion to a mainly clothing format at White City, we've also converted a further three stores to a similar format. They have a wider fashion range and a smaller essential home and travel offer, taking the cue from our international business. These stores are only opened in the last few weeks, so it's still too early to report on the performance at this stage. Our staff are also providing a much better service to our customers, as the My Customer Satisfaction scores demonstrate. We have seen real improvements over the last few years. This is important, as we know highly satisfied customers spend 20% more in our stores and also twice as likely to return. Online is an increasingly important part of our business in the UK, now accounting for around 29% of our sales. Both segments of our online are in growth, with direct in-home up 5.9% to 99 million, and direct in-store up 2.7% to 35 million. We would expect the proportion of direct sales to continue to grow over the next few years. One of the key drivers for online sales is speed of delivery. We introduced free next-day delivery through Click and Collect to all stores during the last financial year. Since its introduction, we have seen rapid take-up, with Click and Collect now accounting for around one-third of all of our online sales. Mobile is also an increasing important part for today's shopper on the move. Our mobile app and traffic and sales are growing rapidly. Mobile traffic was up 68% and now accounts for 35% of all online traffic. Over the last year, we've won several awards for our iPhone and Android apps, highlighting our use of technology. The iPad tablet app is due to be launched next month, and we expect this to be well received by our customers. Our new CRM system, which we spoke about at the half year, has been in place for the last 6 months, and we've made a good start. Over these 6 months, we've doubled the number of active customers, and we now have a database of around 1 million. This means we can now contact roughly one-third of our customers with targeted emails based on their own particular circumstances. So let's now look at some product. We've made some good progress with clothing over the year. Overall sales were up on last year, and we've grown market share. Our new premium Stars and Dreams collection has been particularly well received by customers and has been a great gifting option. The lower price and improved fashion in Blooming Marvellous ranges have also been a success, with high single-digit sales growth and improved margins. Our premium Little Bird range, designed by Jules Oliver, was also extended to more stores. In home and travel, we've made further progress towards differentiating ourselves from the competition, with further exclusives from Bugaboo. The Chameleon Navy adding to exclusive early launches of the Andy Warhol and Buffalo pushchairs. Silver Cross has also given us exclusivity as entry price strollers. In toys, we are continuing to introduce new products and ranges. The ELC ranges are an integral part of the Mothercare toy category. The new toy box range and the Royal Baby set launched on the day Prince George was born have been important ranges for us this year. And actually, we've actually sold 200,000 of the toy box items since launch, just before Christmas. So, look, moving to the outlook for the year ahead. Our international markets continue to offer good growth opportunities. Space growth over the last 2 years has been around 13%, and our three-year rolling plans with our partners indicate a similar level is achievable. We expect the currency moves to continue into the new year, with a greater impact in the first half, easing back in the second half of the year. In the UK, we expect like-for-like sales for the year to be a small negative, but on an improving trend, with direct continuing to grow and having a positive impact. Direct growth will be more weighted towards half two. We'll continue with our strategy of managing the business to optimise cash margin while continuing to close loss-making stores and taking costs out. From a cash flow point of view, we'd expect working capital to be broadly neutral, as stock benefits offset the growth in franchise debtors from growing international sales. We plan to continue to invest in the business with capital expenditure of around 15 million, closing net debt expected to be around 50 million. And overall, I would not expect any change to consensus forecasts as a result of this guidance. So let me now hand back to Alan to summarise for us.
Thank you very much, Matt. And if I may just look at the summary of the presentation which you've heard so far. Well, clearly, we recognise that this has been a challenging year for Mothercare. However, despite the increasing effect of currency on our reported numbers, we've seen good growth in international, with all four regions contributing strongly. In conjunction with our franchise partners, we have good visibility of future plans, which continue to show double-digit space growth. Now, although we're delivering operational improvements here in the United Kingdom, we've moved forward our multi-channel model and we've closed loss-making stores and reduced costs, as you've seen. Trading performance in the UK, as I said earlier, is unacceptable. And it was particularly poor over the important Q3 Christmas trading period. Progress has been made during the course of the year, but we know there is much more to do. But I'm pleased to report the momentum we saw in Q4 has been maintained into the first quarter of the new financial year, and we look forward to sustaining this improvement throughout the next few months. We are determined to achieve our goal of returning the United Kingdom to profitability, growing our international business, and building shareholder value over the long term. This is the end of our formal part of our presentation. I'd now like to turn over to questions and answers. If you would be so kind to state your name and the organisation which you represent, addressing your questions to me, and in the first instance, and I will be asking Matt and maybe others to contribute to the answers. Yes, sir.
Thanks, Alan. It's Alexander Mees here from JPM CAS. Two questions, if I may. The first one with regard to the UK and the home and travel business. Could you just outline the mix of branded and own label products in home and travel as it stands? And within the branded side of the business, are you continuing to experience pricing pressure? Is it improving? And could there be an issue with surplus inventory at any point? And the second question is, could you just update us on the search for a new CEO, please?
Sorry, the CEO. Well, Matt, why don't you respond to the first point? And maybe Matt Stringer, Matt, where are you? Maybe ask to add a little bit of colour in the mix question as well, and I will comment on the CEO.
Yeah, no problem. So we said before, I think, Alex, actually, that we have about 55% of our sales in home and travel through branded products, about 45% through our own brands. If you go back over the last couple of years, that mix would have been the other way around, actually. So we look to continue to increase our own brand presence going forward at the same time. But it's about 55 currently branded and 45 currently own branded. And we're planning actually the market will remain competitive. We are the market leader in this category. And that's why we're seeking the level of support and looking to see our business perform better going forward. However, we know it will be competitive, and that's how we're planning on a prudent basis.
Matt, have you got anything to add on the colour and the mix?
Not to the percentage numbers that Matt's indicated, but I think just the point is we're working very closely with our branded suppliers to make sure we optimise attractive ranges for our customers. So we are doing better at the moment in terms of having unique products and getting exclusives from our suppliers, early launches. I think it's one or two of those lines were indicated in the presentation from Matt earlier, so we're seeing some success with those. Your point about inventory, we've managed our inventory down through the year, and the trajectory is still to take it down even further. So we're in a better condition than we were 12 months ago in terms of our overall inventory levels.
Thank you. If I could turn to the Chief Executive search, which, as I've said, is progressing well. In fact, I think it's progressing very well. We are at a shortlist stage. The names on that shortlist are confidential, and I look forward to updating you and the rest of the market on the announcement when that is going to come, which will be during the course of this summer.
Excuse me, Ethan O'Leary at Oriel. Just in relation to the price differential in the home and travel category, can you tell us what you think that is relative to your competition at the moment and what investment, if any, is needed to close that gap?
Matt, again, do you want to comment on that first?
Yes, it's about the price differential on our branded products.
Yeah.
I think what we've talked about before is we're not looking to sell products below cost, and we're looking to optimise our cash margin. So we're not going to be chasing sales down pricing down in the marketplace. I haven't got the detail to give you any price differential to any particular competitor. What we do offer though is price matching. So we offer price matching against all of our key competitors and made that very clear to our customers. So our customers have opportunities to have those prices in line with our competitors.
John Stevenson at Peel Hunt. Just a couple of questions. In terms of the store contributions, can you update us in terms of how many stores maybe not sort of contributing at the moment. Secondly, just the original strategy, I think you talked about obviously being able to get the UK back to profitability without getting like-for-like sales growth. I mean, clearly margin and like-for-likes, I guess, are going to be key to recovery this time round. Can you sort of comment on when you think you'll have margins stabilised and sort of pushing forward?
Matt, would you like to take both of those?
Yeah, no, fine. So store contribution first. So as I said today, we ended the year with 220 stores in the UK, and I also highlighted we plan to close a further 25 loss-making stores for the year ahead. We'd always talked about a store portfolio of around 200, but equally we're flexible to that. And I think with the numbers I've talked about today, that takes us to about 190, 195. That's our kind of current view of a good size in the UK. But again, we'll be flexible looking forward as markets may change. And then the second question was in connection with some
Just in terms of like-for-likes and margins.
Yeah, like-for-likes and margins. So, again, you asked about when UK profitability would be, I think. And I think the consensus in the market is around FY 2017. And we're comfortable with that projection currently as well.
Yeah, I mean, from a margin perspective, obviously you expect margins to come down again this year. Do you think you've got enough going on in terms of the exclusivities with the brand and sort of stock control to be able to actually hold margin going forward?
I think we're in a much better shape than we've been, actually. So we're working very closely with our suppliers. Our stock levels are coming down and they're being managed more tightly. And that gives us more opportunity to be more in control as we look forward into the new year. Clearly, quarter three is our big quarter in the UK and that's important to go into that well. But we're looking in the right position currently.
Thanks.
Good morning, it's Matthew Taylor, Numis. Just a question on clothing, actually. Do you feel you're in the right position in terms of your relative pricing position in entry level? And I think I sort of heard one or two hints in the presentation that some of the upper end clothing ranges are doing quite well. Are there any sort of notable mix effects? Have you picked up anything major along the way there?
If I could, I'd like Mark to comment on that. Mark's added some interesting perspectives, particularly on our clothing, the whole business as well, but particularly clothing over the last few weeks. And Mark, what would your comment be on our ranges?
Yeah, I think the UK, first of all, just to stand back from the ranges and just talk to a bit more broadly about the business. There's two fantastic brand names there, ALC and Mothercare, and I can't think of another British retailer that has exported his brand as well internationally as the two brands have been exported. You can't see an argument for really a Body Shop in terms of extension of the range internationally. This business has managed to do it, and it's very easy to get that. That's a real positive here. And clearly, the UK is well reported, it has some troubles. And I think the ranging is, I think at the top end, we don't have enough product that's highly styled and highly designed. Matt mentioned the Little Bird. It's pretty much the only range we have that sits at that top end. It's our fastest rate of sales, so there's the huge push. I think also interesting in that is that internationally we have more style and design ranges than we actually have sat in the UK. Yet the footprint of the UK stores is somewhat bigger than the international stores. So there is an opportunity to take product that we're currently buying today, we just don't range it to the UK, which happens to be at that style end. But the bottom end, and then going back to the question about the base end, It's great quality, great style, lots of detail for into the product, it doesn't chat. So you can directly compare it with the supermarket and the way it's presented, but the reality is the product is of much superior quality. So we have to go one of two ways. We either have to re-engineer the product to bring its price down so it's more competitive, or keep the product engineered like it is, but be much better at selling the attributes in that product. So in terms of price architecture, we're good in the sort of middle area, sort of the top end of good and better. We don't have enough product at the best end.
Watch this space. Thank you.
Yes, Matthew McEachran from N Plus One Singer. Just going back to the My Customer scores, you showed a chart in the presentation pack.
Yep.
And just elaborate a little bit. There was a 3-point improvement year on year, but obviously there was a rolling program of closures prior year, another batch of closures this year.
Yes.
I'm just wondering whether or not there's any exclusions from the measurement. Are you using a continuing base? If not, should we read anything into that quite modest improvement compared to the prior year?
Okay, yeah, I think it was 75%, I think, was the number on the chart from memory. So, not at all, actually. No, there were no exclusions, so that they are the full results for the full chain during the course of the year, kind of weighted by those stores at that particular point. The exit rate, actually, for the year was higher than 75, so 75 was the average. We're now consistently seeing high 70s, so 78, 79s on a consistent basis. So, we're encouraged, actually, and I think, you know, we'd anticipate ourselves moving into the 80s going forward, and that's where we'd aspire to be.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Mike Dennis from CFE. I have a few questions. In terms of profitability, is the wholesale mini club business still profitable? And could you give us some sort of feel for ELC against the UK in terms of losses? And just to qualify that UK question somebody asked earlier about the 189 stores, I mean, how many are profitable within that UK business? In terms of the banks, I see they've given you till October to renegotiate the 100 million facility. What is that based on? Is it based on you appointing a CEO and having a strategy? Is that based on knowing how much costs the strategy are going to take? Just want some sort of color on where you sit with the banks at the moment.
Sure.
And in terms of the CapEx, you put the CapEx up 15 to 15 million.
Yeah.
Could you give us an idea of what it's for?
Well, while Matt collects his thoughts on those very, very important questions, then I'm going to ask Jerry, who's responsible for our wholesale business, and you know, maybe a comment or two on internationals in general, just a comment on wholesale, Jerry, and how you see it. And then coming back to you, Matt, and responding in detail.
That's fine.
The wholesale business for Mini Club is profitable. I don't think we disclose or break out the numbers, but it is profitable. The international and other UK wholesale in Boots and Debenhams and Tesco's, where we sell ELC, again, is profitable for us. We see bigger opportunities, actually. As a business, I think we just need to organise ourselves better on wholesale, as Matt said in his presentation, and I think there's more opportunity there.
One of the things which I didn't mention, I talked about the strength of our international franchise partners, and I think that is the quality of our network is a real core strength of this company. But what Jerry has been doing as well is looking to see how we can expand, and I think during the course of the year we will have some exciting news, I think, in new territories with strong partners going forward. So although we're very pleased with our existing partners, we're not being complacent and looking at new large markets as well.
We've got two or three big markets that we hope to enter later this year with franchise agreements, and some of our existing partners will also enter some other adjacent territories during the year. There are a variety of wholesale customers in the UK, including Argos, and they will buy. And obviously that business fluctuates because it really depends on the buyer and the season that they've had. So that wholesale business will fluctuate up and down, but the percentage is really quite small, and its contribution is very small as well.
Matt, coming back to the other questions.
Yeah, okay. There were five questions there, Mike. So the second one was in connection with ELC. I think you sort of got ELC performance relative to Mothercare performance. So first thing just to note, I mean, as we see in the international business, ELC generates and makes profits overseas, and the ELC stores in the UK don't, consistent with we see the overall Mothercare performance in the UK, Mothercare Group. And you'll know that we've been closing the standalone ELC stores because those in the main have been loss-making, and we continue to do that and continue to move those sales into store-in stores in Mothercare, and that strategy will continue. So I haven't talked about the makeup of the 25 stores we're closing for the year ahead, but again, the majority of those will be in the ELC space, as you'd probably expect given our future prior strategy. So that strategy continues, and that will continue into the year ahead. On store profitability, again, we talked about an estate of 220, with 25 to close in the year ahead, so down to about 190, 195. The majority of our stores are making a contribution, a positive contribution, and I think what's important to note, actually, is that given multi-channel, how that's developing, particularly with our customers and their need for convenience, having a good store estate in the UK in the right locations with the right quality of store as well is really important. That's why we're seeing click and collect now up to a third of our sales from a very early start. So we expect that to continue going forward. On the banking points, let's just be clear on where we are with this. So we ended the year with net debt of £46.5 million, in line with what I'd mentioned, guided back in January. And that was in line with our own internal plans as well. So we're on track or in line with our plans on our banking. We took the opportunity, given where that debt position was at the year end, to speak to our banks and put in place additional or further headroom on our covenants looking forward. There's no concern with breaches, we're not in that place at all. Our banks are very supportive, they've always been working with us, and we speak to them regularly. So we've taken the opportunity to look forward and to have additional further headroom on our covenants. And the same thing actually with the facility. You notice in the schedules here, we've taken the facility up to £100 million for the next 6 months. And again, that's nothing more than prudent planning and good planning looking forward. So our low point on debt during the year, as I mentioned, is around September. And for the year just finished, it was at £70 million. Again, looking forward into the year ahead, September will be our low point in our debt, given our stock profile. So again, for good planning and prudent purposes, we'd look to increase that to £100 million. There's nothing more to it than that, actually, with the banking. Yes.
And yet you've increased your bank facility by 10 million.
Again, it's around to good planning and prudency. I'm sorry?
Surely wouldn't the bank facility be one
to... Well, the facility isn't what we use, clearly. So having the facility is around, I think, good planning and being prudent and giving us flexibility. What we'll clearly use is what we use as what we use during the year. So I haven't talked about that number. But the facility is the gives us the headroom. And is a good plan. It's an FD, you want to have plenty of headroom as you go into any future year, and there's nothing more than that. You talked about CapEx and about investment. So absolutely right. So we spent £13 million just gone last year in connection with store investments in the UK, IT, and around investment in joint ventures. For the year ahead, £15 million, broadly be shaped around £5-6 million invested in our stores as we look to continue to invest in our store estate. We've got £5-6 million in our IT as we look to improve and further upgrade our IT systems to generate further multi-channel growth. And the remaining £5 million will be more maintenance and base kind of levels of CapEx in the business.
Thank you, Matt.
Yep.
Is there any last questions? Well, in that case, let me wrap things up by again thanking you all for coming, and I look forward to further updating you. I think our next key date is our annual general meeting, which is in mid-July. Until then, au revoir.